Genesis. We are in chapter 16, and we have been talking about the difference between what flesh produces and what spirit produces.
And you know, going back to Sarah giving her slave to Abram, the wife, if you think back, God told Abram, out of your loins will come a seed. Now, we don't see that he said out of Sarah's at that particular time. And so when she makes this proposition, Sarah makes this proposition to Abram, he says, well, God said out of my loins. Okay, so he's rationalizing this thing. And I've seen this in years of ministry, how people will take something like God drops a word in them, and then rather than a let that unfold, they try to force that word to come to pass, which is exactly what was done here. And then it's always a fleshly thing. It's produced by flesh. Many years ago, the Lord told me, allow, don't force. Don't try to make something happen. You just allow it to happen. And he just assured me, if he gave me a word, all I had to do was just follow his lead, and it would come to pass in his time. Not to try to force an issue. Forcing an issue is going to produce flesh, and if you produce flesh, it's always going to be in opposition to what God really wanted done. Okay?
We talked this afternoon about this notion of Sarai giving her handmaid to her husband to be wife, and I was thinking on that and thinking, I just don't know that I could imagine that. But Pete pointed out to me, which was a real good point, of course you couldn't, because you couldn't imagine having another person that was property, considered property.
Different culture, whole different culture.
I'm glad I can't figure that one out. We'll let that be. So in verse 3, after living, and Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife.
So 10 years, what's that, 75 plus 10? So he was 85 years old when he takes Hagar as his wife or concubine, however you want to say that, okay?
And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes.
Now, this is the way the flesh works, okay? So Hagar, they have sexual relations, and she becomes pregnant. And when she becomes pregnant, she treats Sarah with contempt, disrespect. She's disrespectful to her. Now, hey, she's forgetting she's a slave. Do you understand? So what happens? Flesh starts manifesting.
Mm.
Okay?
And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon you. I have given my maid into your bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and you.
So even though it's Sarah's suggestion, she's putting the blame on Abram, right? This is your fault.
Yeah.
Right? I gave you my slave, and now my slave doesn't respect me because she's had your baby. Which in reality is Sarah. This is what's interesting. Sarah wanted a child, but when the flesh produces, you don't want what the flesh produces. Think about it. She rejected what the flesh produced.
And that's important. You're going to find this on the test. Sarai's plan for Hagar to bear Abram a son teaches us that flesh is always a liability to God's promise.
Always.
Verse 6, But Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as it pleases you. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face.
And so what Abram's saying, Sarai says, it's your fault. He says, she's your slave. You deal with it. And so she does. Now, we don't know what it means by harshly. But evidently, she takes matters in her hand, pulls things back in perspective. Listen, young lady, you're not the woman of the house. You're the slave in the house. I don't know what else she said to her, but it was dramatic enough that she runs away. A pregnant woman. Think about that.
And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, where did you come from, and whither will you go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarai.
So the angel of the Lord meets her. He says, and he calls her. Sarai's slave, servant, actually slave. Where are you going? And she says, I'm running away from my master. He says, you go back and you submit yourself. Flesh, you submit.
That's good. Here's another test question that you're going to see. God's instruction for Hagar to return to Sarai demonstrates the principle. When someone has authority over us, we must submit. Okay, in verse 10. The angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply your seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, you are with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren.
Now, I mean, you look at this. To me, it's amazing that he says, I'm going to greatly multiply your seed. It's the seed of Abraham. And so, even though it's produced by flesh, the blessing of Abraham is on him. Now, you have to understand what I mean. I didn't say the promise. There's a difference, okay? And so he says, all right, you won't be able to number this. This boy right here is going to go into a great nation, okay? What it boils down to. And he also told her that she was pregnant and that she was to name the child. Now, this is interesting. He's naming this. So Ishmael is named by the angel of the Lord, not by Hagar or by Abram, they're just following the lead, you understand? And he says, you're going to give birth to a son, you to name him Ishmael, the Lord's seen your affliction. And then he said that Ishmael would be a wild man, and that he would dwell among his brethren. His hand's going to be against every man's hand against him, and he's dwelling in the presence of brethren. You see this going on today. Wild man. Right? What is it? It's flesh against promise, flesh against promise, flesh against promise. But flesh produces. Flesh reproduces. But you know you reproduce after your own kind. And so flesh is going to reproduce flesh. And so then you have this constant animosity and hostility between what would be naturally called brothers, Isaac, Ishmael, half-brothers anyway, okay? But there's that natural animosity between them, competing, vying. Flesh always wants the preeminence. Now this is spiritual principle right here. And Paul draws off of this in the book of Galatians. Flesh wants the preeminence. Okay? Now, to understand, at this particular time, Hagar has not produced a son yet. She's just pregnant with the son. But she's told, go submit.
Sorry, I lost my spot. It's 13. And she called the name of the Lord that spoke to her, "You, God, see me." For she said, "Have I also here looked after him that sees me?" Wherefore, the well was called Beer Lahairoi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered.
The well of the living one. That's what it means. Located between Kadesh and Bered. And so, she has this encounter. And she gives this name, "You Lord see." What's he say? He saw what occurred between Sarah and her and how she'd been harshly treated. And so what does she do? She does what she's instructed to do. She goes back and she's to submit to Sarah, her mistress or master.
Mm-hmm. And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael.
So evidently, when Hagar returns, she tells Abram the encounter that she's had with the angel of the Lord. And that she's been instructed to name this child Ishmael. So when the son is born, Abram's not arguing. He names the child Ishmael. Now, Abram is 86 years old when Ishmael's born. Remember what we said earlier? Lived in the land 10 years, 75 years, 10 years, 85. So he was 85 when he got Hagar pregnant, and by the time Ishmael was born, he's 86. Okay?
I have a test question here that I think could lead us into a discussion that I want us to think about. The blessing of God and the approval of God are not synonymous.
Totally, totally different. If you think about it, the nation of Israel, wandering in the wilderness 40 years. They were wandering for those 40 years because of rebellion. They refused to go into the land God promised them. Yet in that 40 years of rebellion, God supernaturally fed them. He protected them. He watched over them. But His protection and His provision can never be mistaken for blessing. You understand? It's just the mercy of God, or approval, I'm sorry. It can't be portrayed as the approval of God. Well, you know, God must be approving because I'm blessed. No, that's not a sign of approval. God blessed them in spite of their rebellion. But they died in the wilderness because he did not approve of the rebellion. You with me? God does not approve of what flesh produces, even though he may bless what flesh produced. No wonder Isaiah wrote, God's ways are higher than us. You can't explain that. I can't explain it. I don't even understand it. I just know God's smarter. And so we just leave it at that. Okay? So don't tell me that the nation of Israel today is not blessed, even though they have not embraced the Messiah, Jesus Christ as the Messiah, because they're the seed of Abraham, they are blessed. It's not that God's approving of their rejection. He's blessing them because of his promise to Abraham. God keeps his end of the bargain, his covenant, if you will. Okay?
Very good. Chapter 17. This chapter tells us of God's covenant with Abram, Abram and Sarai's name change, the seal of the covenant, God's promise that Sarai would conceive, and Abram's obedience to execute the seal of the covenant. All right, verse 1. And when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect.
Now, just remember this age, 99.
Mm-hmm.
How old was he when Ishmael was born?
86.
Mm-hmm. So do your math, how old is Ishmael? 13 years old, right? Okay, think about this. So for 13 years here, he's not seeing that seed God promised. He's seeing what flesh produced. Now, God says to him, I'm Almighty God. Walk before me and be a man of integrity. That's interesting to say to him, because he'd been, had some deceptive moments saying it. Sarah was his sister instead of his wife, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was an element of truth, but there was deception. And God says, be a man of integrity. And that's what God is saying to any man of God, any representative of God. Be a person of integrity. Be good for your word. Be an example that others can follow.
He went on to say, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly.
That's pretty amazing. God tells him he's going to make a covenant with him and greatly increase him. The man is already blessed. And God says, I'm going to increase your blessing.
And Abram fell on his face and God talked with him saying,
worship.
Mm-hmm. As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations.
Now look at this, father of many nations, not just Israel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Abraham didn't have just Hagar or Sarah. But he also had Keturah, who had six sons,
mm-hmm.
and they reproduced. And so God's saying, it's not going to just be one nation, it's going to be nations. You're going to be the father of nations. Okay?
He said, neither shall your name anymore be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made you.
Kings are going to come forth out of you. Now, I mean, history just substantiates what God says. I mean, it's an affirmation that God's good for his word, okay?
And I will make you exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come out of you.
exceedingly fruitful. Not just fruitful, but exceedingly fruitful.
And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your seed after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto you and to your seed after you.
So the Lord promised to establish his covenant not only with Abraham, but also with Abraham's descendants. And then listen to this. He said it is an everlasting covenant. So that covenant is still going on today with Abraham's descendants. God's good for his word.
And I will give to you and to your seed after you the land wherein you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God.
Now he goes on to say he has an everlasting possession of all the land of Canaan. All the land, not a portion, all the land of Canaan. And then God said, I will be your God. So in verse 7, God said that he would be God to Abraham and his descendants. In other words, I'll be God to protect you and provide for you. But then we look at verse 8, God said that he would be God of Abraham and his descendants. In other words, I'm the God you worship. You don't worship all these other gods. I will provide and protect you. You worship me. This is my role. This is your role. You with me? A covenant includes two people, you understand. I'll do this, you do this. There's obligations on both sides. So God obligated himself to Abraham and his descendants, and he wanted them to obligate themselves to him and to make him the priority. And so when you look at this, you see worship and serve as Israel's role. And God's role, protect and provide. Okay?
Verse 9. And God said unto Abraham, you shall keep my covenant, therefore, you and your seed after you in their generations.
So this is not a suggestion. This is a command. You keep my covenant. And your descendants keep my covenant. In other words, this covenant's good when both parties are cooperating. Don't violate the covenant.
This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your seed after you. Every man-child among you shall be circumcised. And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man-child in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of your seed.
So God says, all right, this is my covenant, now I need a signature. And this is going to be yours. I want all males circumcised, 8 days old. When they're 8 days old, all males circumcised. Those born in your house, those you buy. In other words, your slaves. Anyone born into your house is to be circumcised when they're 8 days old. So I want you and all that belong to you, males, circumcised. How old is Abraham? 99 years old, and I want you circumcised. Think about it. That's pretty traumatic. Okay?
That's a good way to put it. Traumatic. Okay.
Everybody in that household. His whole army. Remember, he had 318 when he went out and recovered Lot. That just is a little army there, and all the kids and everything else. I want everybody circumcised all at the same time. Whew. That's something.
Verse 13. He that is born in your house, you know, before we move on, before we move on, you think about that. You remember the account at Shechem mm-hmm. when those men had been circumcised mm-hmm. They were totally wiped out because they
incapacitated.
Right. But we had just read in that verse 7, we see the protection and the provision of God. So you take care of your part, and I'm going to cover you and protect
you
while you do.
While you recuperate, I'll keep you covered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a pretty traumatic event there. Verse 13. He that is born in your house and he that is bought with your money must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant.
Some will make this an identifying mark in your flesh. Circumcision is a mark of the covenant of God. Now, under the new covenant, this is the old covenant, under the new covenant is circumcision of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
You with me?
Mm-hmm.
But under those still living under the old covenant, and I'm talking about the nation of Israel, until they accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah, then they're under obligation to be circumcised on the eighth day, because that's the covenant of the law that they're living under. But once you accept Jesus Christ, now this is a better covenant established on better promises, and what's done in the flesh is irrelevant. It's what's done in the spirit now. You with me? There is a contrast.
And the uncircumcised man-child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant.
Any male's not circumcised, you broke the covenant. So I'm not under obligation to you. God is only obligated to his covenant. You violate it, you get out from under it, then he's not obligated to it.
And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name.
Change her name. You change your name to Father of Many Nations. You change her name to a princess, okay?
And I will bless her and give you a son also of her. Yes, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her.
Now listen to what he's saying. He's saying he's going to bless Sarah. And so it's Sarah, not just Abraham, but now Sarah's included. In other words, this baby's going to come out of Abraham's loins and out of Sarah's womb. She's going to produce this son. And she will be called the mother of nations, and kings of people would issue forth from her. Now, this has got to be coming out of Isaac now. Right?
Mm-hmm.
The kings are going to be the ones coming out of Isaac now. Mm-hmm. And so, Sarah, there's more inclusion in this as we read it.
Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear?
A lot of people would just think about Sarah's laughing, but Abraham laughed first. 100-year-old man having a child that's coming out from a 90-year-old woman? Oh, that you would bless Ishmael. Go ahead and read that.
Yeah. And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you.
Abraham said, this is hard to digest. I'm having a problem comprehending this. Oh, that you would bless Ishmael.
And God said, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son indeed, and you shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him.
God says, you know, Abraham wanted Ishmael to live before God and be godly. And so he reassured Abraham, God reassured Abraham, that Sarah was going to give birth to a son. And he told him to name the child Isaac. You know what Isaac means? Laughter. You laugh, name him Laughter. God promised to establish his covenant with Isaac as an everlasting covenant that included his descendants. This covenant of Abraham was never given to Ishmael. Oh, that Ishmael would live before you. That's one thing. But the covenant was never cut with Ishmael. There was a promise made to Hagar that Ishmael would be a big nation, a multitude of people and all that. But the promise was never given to the flesh. It was given to the spirit. Okay?
And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation.
God says, all right, I'll bless Ishmael. I'll make him a great nation. 12 princes will come from him. But he's not the covenant son.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the covenant. I'll bless him, but he's not the covenant son.
But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear, unto you at this set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham.
So God tells Abraham that within a year, Sarah is going to give birth to a son. So he's 99, so that means she's 89. So he's going to be 100, and she's going to be 90 years old. And so how old does that make Ishmael when Isaac's born? 13 plus 1. 14 years old. Ishmael's 14 years old when Isaac's born. Just think about that, okay? Because it'll unfold, okay?
And Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin, in the selfsame day, as God had said unto him.
So Abraham gets all his household together. All right, guys, here's the deal. Y'all are going to be circumcised today. You understand? He believes God.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he got circumcised. You know, circumcision is not the covenant. Circumcision is a demonstration of the faith of Abraham. The covenant was made. Abraham believed God before he got circumcised. Because he believed God, he got all his household circumcised. You have to keep that in perspective. Otherwise, it's just works of the flesh. No, circumcision was not a work of the flesh. With Abraham, circumcision was an act of faith. Okay? And then it got reduced down to just a work.
But it said, I want y'all to pay attention to where it said, the self same day. He got the word from the Lord and acted.
He's not hesitating. He's not procrastinating. When God speaks, you move with God's timing. Okay? I'm going to read that next verse.
And Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin.
So, Ishmael was 13, he was 99. Note this, Sarah didn't get pregnant till after Abraham got circumcised.
Mm-hmm.
That covenant is now sealed. now the Word of God can come to pass. Didn't you? Okay?
Very good. Verse 27. And all the men of his house, born in the house, and bought with money of the stranger, were circumcised with him.
Everyone, that's every male, in Abraham's household was circumcised the same day that the Lord spoke with Abraham about his covenant. They didn't have an option. He said, we're all going to get circumcised today because we're going to covenant with God. We're going to be a distinct people. People that hear God, follow God, and do what God tells them to do. There's so much that you can glean out of this when you're looking at flesh versus spirit and how... No wonder Abraham called the father of faith, the faith that he demonstrates, 99 years old, demonstrating how much he believes God. You understand? Pretty profound. We'll stop there. Time's up. And we'll pick back up with the 18th chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed, you enlarge our territory, your hands with us to keep us from evil, so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us, you make your face to shine upon us, you're gracious unto us, you lift up your countenance upon us, and you give us peace. So Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you be before you. Amen.
Amen.
You guys have a great Thanksgiving, and if you show up Thursday, be prepared to speak out on the doorsteps.